Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Yaina Israel with another edition of the Yehuda Project. It is good to have you all here today with us. We do appreciate you being so diligent and listening to our show. As usual, I'm going to play my song. I hope you like the music, and we're going to give our guest time to call in. All right, here we go. right, it's another lovely first day of the week. It is Yom Rishon in Hebrew. That means the first day of the week. Hallelujah. Let me take a moment and get my co-host on the line. Make sure this thing is working. Here we go. All right, shalom, shalom, Brother Donai. How are you?
Shalom, shalom. I'm good. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. No complaints, no complaints. I did put a title on the show, and I had a couple of titles up there, and I put one up and I took one down. But I think we're going to do a mixture of the show today because I wanted to touch base on a couple of things this week. You know, I think we had a really nice couple of shows last week and kind of put some information out there for our people to think about. But, you know, I was looking at the things that are going on in the news today, and it's some pretty serious stuff going on. You know, the whole world is in an uproar right now. The world is in an uproar.
That is correct. You are absolutely right.
I wanted to end last week's show with a clip that I wanted to play last week, and we didn't really have the information in front of us to actually play. I did invite a brother to come on the line, and if you are on the line, please feel free to push 1. We would like to have you on as a guest. But I wanted to play this clip because this is going to end out our whole episode, the last 2 shows that we've had about the state of our young children. And I hope that you all, when you listen to this, you'll understand why it is so imperative that we do something to get to our youth before it is too late. And then once we finish this clip, we're going to move on to current events. But I think this is very necessary for you to listen to, and because it's a sad situation, and this person reflects a lot of our young men today. So I want to play this clip for you so we can get this going. Here we go.
James Brown. He like the one I shot at first. He's throwing my back. You know what I'm saying? Like drop. Got back up like he was gonna run. The one I hit six. You know what I'm saying? He raised up like he was gonna do so. So I shot him in the head. You know what I'm saying? Then the other one, she had shot him twice in the head. Just make sure fuck that. You know what I'm saying? I don't need that shit. Lay that shit down. So me and my cousin ran their bike. You know what I'm saying? Got the keys, got their weapons. Hop in the driver, hop in the passenger side. Yep.
So they did nothing to you or nothing to prevent you, but you just felt that you could take their life?
When they, you know what I'm saying? I just blanked out. You know what I'm saying? Like, when that shit happened. Because I ain't no kid, nobody fuck. You know what I'm saying? I'm a shot at people. Or ain't no problem with me pulling pills. You know what I'm saying? I don't even push by no girls like you. You know what I'm saying?
You killed two young men now.
Yeah, they like the march.
Do you have any remorse? None whatsoever.
It was a night.
What would you say to either of these families, Billy Dine, babies, and widows?
I could have been too.
What do you think is going to happen to you now?
Whatever they stole it, hopefully
they don't care. Hopefully?
Yes.
Why do you hope for the
death? I'm going to kill somebody else. Straight up. I'm sitting here right now. I can't do no more for the night. I'm going to go crazy.
So you want the death?
You do. You want the whole time.
Oh, and here you're going to kill someone?
No. The penitentiary they sent me to. They waiting for me on death row. Tell you just like I'm a kid's judge. Then the motherfuckers didn't go out and hit the way I already told them. Oh, you fucked up. Well, maybe so. Everybody got to die someday.
I think people tonight will hear your side of the story and I'm going to think this is sick that you feel this way. How do you respond to that?
I respond, fuck.
All right, Donnie, what you got to say about that? I know it was kind of hard to hear, but this is a young man. That's 19 years old. Him and his cousin decided to get up one morning, smoke some weed, go see some girls, and then they went out to the rich white people neighborhood and decided they was going to rob somebody, but it went from robbing to murder. And
yes.
This was his attitude that he had after he did it.
Yeah, it's really hard to listen to how our children are thinking today, man. You know, they living with a no hope, they got no reason to live, you know. And I think that all stems from what we did not do in the past. Their fathers did not stick around to give them any kind of different perspective in life. You understand? And now they go with the no hope and no reason to live. You understand? So you know, that's why I say all the time, our ultimate goal here is to try to put something in place for our children. You understand? We might not be able to catch the children now. It's a difficult thing to try to steer a child in the right direction after he's grown up. After 13 years old, man, you know, if you haven't been teaching them children what to do and how to do it and giving them a reason to live, it's difficult to grab them. There, just the other week, man, there was a lady, a young man had killed his grandmother. You understand? Stabbed her 58 times over a TV. Right. You understand? And that's, you know, you understand? And, you know, see, this society right here got everybody bipolar and suffering with different type of diseases. You understand? You know, that brings about a lot of those, and then they try to give you a pill, and once you don't take the pill, your situation gets worse. The other day they had a young boy kill his whole, kill his parents with a machete.
Good.
You understand? You know, so this stuff is rampant and is running, is really bad. You understand? This is why we got to start building our children up and showing them a different thing and putting things in place for them. And, you know, when they ain't got no job. Look at them. They ain't got no summer job that they can go to, you understand? And there used to be camps. When you get out of school, man, your mother signed you up to go to a camp, man. You learn how to do things in the camp, you understand? You know, all of those things, man. See, now the kids is just on the street now. You understand? Parents got to go to work, and if they ain't got no computer sitting up there in front of the computer getting fat, you understand? They out in the streets stealing and robbing and breaking into things, man. They have flash mobs that run in the stores. You understand? And everybody grabs something out of the store, you understand? They think that's so cute and all that, you understand? And that's because they don't have anything to do. They, you know, and then, and the risk, you understand, that doesn't outweigh the pleasure with them. They don't mind going to jail. They, you know, you understand? And when they go to jail, they come out hardened criminals like this young boy right here. You understand? I can bet you, I can lay dollars to donuts, man, that young boy been incarcerated at an early age, and he learned how to have no care about life from the penitentiary. Wearing his pants hanging across his backside, you understand? Hat on backwards, you understand what I'm saying? Cussing like a sailor. Come on, man. You understand? We got to do something about ours. You understand? And we the only one that can do something about our children. We cannot even think about nobody else's nation. We have to do something about ours. You understand what I'm saying? Ours seem to be the problem here. You understand? And we got, you know, maybe we can't do nothing with those young folks right now. I mean, because they've grown up and they've been embedded in their way. But if we do something with the ones that just getting into that, just coming up now, you understand, in the eighth grade, you understand what I'm saying, and we put something in place for them, you understand. I told you, man, like when I was coming up, they had a Manhattanville Center where you can go there, man, after school, you understand, you can do your homework, you understand. They got a gym, they had carpentry, plumbing, electrical wiring, you understand. You can learn, you know, if you don't learn a trade there, you can learn, you know, if you don't learn a trade in school, they teach you everything, man. Today, man, the kids are just in the street, and we can't have that.
The adults is in the street. I mean, when you think about the job market, you got the kids and the adults in the street. When you think about, you know, it just dawned on me today for some reason, the light bulb just went off, you know, that we have experienced a government takeover. And it's going to get worse.
Oh, yeah. It's going to get worse. But see, here's the key. The key is those that have the willing heart to do something need to step up to the plate, you understand, and start trying to put things in place, you understand, because, you understand, everybody is not going to get it, you understand, everybody is not going to step up to the plate, but if we could show some accomplishments, you understand, by putting together schools and teaching them children, and see, you know, when I was coming up in the 70s, 72, you understand, they had a little school, you understand, that what they call it, homeschooling thing. This young lady, a friend of mine's daughter, man, she's a nurse now, and she started and she graduated from a homeschooling. You understand what I'm saying? So we got to try. I know that these things can be done. It's just we got to have the willing heart, the people that step up to the plate that want to do something. Now, I don't have the whole answer, but I know together we can get this here. We can find the answer. We the people that put this. Go ahead, continue.
I said I'm sorry for interrupting. He didn't even care. He said they might as well give me the death penalty because I'm gonna kill somebody else.
He said he's
gonna
kill the judge, didn't he?
He said, I can't go to jail, so if I go to jail, I'm going to kill somebody in the penitentiary. So y'all might as well put the needle in my arm. At 19 years old, you know, and the thing is, you know, the more I think about it, the more I realize that when we play the rest of these clips that we have for today, it's really time. We don't have a whole lot of time to put an effort, unfortunately, into our people other than to try to give them the information and hope the Most High opens up their eyes. But we don't have a whole lot of time because it's almost time to get up out of here.
You know, see, the thing is that, you understand, we got to do what we can do. You understand? The time is in the Almighty's hands. You understand what I'm saying? We already recognize we got a window of opportunity here. You understand? It ain't, huh? Say that again?
I said a small window of opportunity.
Yeah, you understand? So we have to do what we can do within that time period. You understand? And see, we ain't got no time, but the Almighty will give us what the time that we need to straighten out our lives, to put something in place. We talking about the creator of all things. You understand? The creator of the universe, who made something out of nothing. You understand? So we know that the Almighty works. You understand what I'm saying? Because he put all of this here in place. You understand? Mm-hmm. And he left us, he put us in charge of everything. You understand? All we got to do is step up, and he will, you know, if it's favorable to the Almighty, you understand, he will make it work. He will make it happen. And what could be more favorable than try to get your children in the going down the right road? Hallelujah.
But you know what? It brings to mind that it's a lot of people that are going to perish. You know, as much as I didn't really want to accept that, but it's a lot of, that are not hearing us. It's a lot of people. You know, the indoctrination has been so strong. You know, when you talk about how the government has just changed, I mean, it's just blatant out doing what it wants to do. Did you see the militia movement that happened in, I think it was in Texas, where they took the man, tried to take the man's cattle?
Yeah. Yeah.
Check this out. Hold on. I want to play this clip, and then you tell me what you think. Here we go.
Supporting the rancher in Nevada. As you may know, the U.S. government is demanding that 67-year-old Cliven Bundy pay more than $1 million in grazing fees that he says he will not pay. Even some conservatives are siding against Mr. Bundy. So you got a bunch of people in there trying to take the law in their own hands, and they shouldn't be doing it. And the Bureau of Land Management is not really just, it's not government owned. It is publicly owned, and there's a big difference there. And so I blame both sides on that. Joining us now from Oklahoma City, Scott Shaw, co-founder of the Oklahoma Volunteer Militia, which is supporting Mr. Bundy. But I want to walk through this with you, Mr. Shaw. There's no doubt he broke the law. Mr. Bundy broke the law. There's no doubt it's been adjudicated in court after court after court. Every legal expert we've had here on the factor said the same thing. The man broke the law. Would you agree with that?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I would agree with that.
Now, throughout our history, as I mentioned last night, there have been conscientious objectors who broke the law, and I think Mr. Bundy may fall into this category. He doesn't believe the law is just. He believes that since he's been there since 1970, his family, that he is being treated unfairly and he is being oppressed by his government. So therein lies the next question, Mr. Shaw. What would your advice to Mr. Bundy be?
My advice would be stay true to your convictions. He has a problem with, you know, the government owning the land in Nevada. I totally understand that.
All right, so he stays true to his convictions, which I believe he will, and then the government attaches his land so that when he dies or attempts to sell, the government will come in and put a lien on it, which is they have the perfect right to do that. That's what you do to tax scofflaws who don't pay their taxes. So would that be a solution that you would be okay with?
Yes, that would be a solution I'd be okay with. What I'm not okay with is what we saw happen just a few weeks ago.
All right, the confrontation and overreaction from the federal government sending in the armed agents to seize his cattle. Now, I agree with you there. I agree with you there. But I've heard some rhetoric from not your group per se, because you're in Oklahoma, but from other groups that are basically saying, we're going to do what we want here. And, you know, and if you provoke us, we're going to have a confrontation. And I think that's wrong.
Well, yes, that is wrong. We always hear that we're a nation of laws, but it turns out we're only a nation of laws when it suits our federal overlords. You know, they like to pick and choose what laws they're going to enforce, and that's not fair. So I understand the frustration from the people on the ground there.
Okay, but you wouldn't encourage them to do anything to provoke a confrontation.
No, I wouldn't provoke a confrontation, but I would definitely defend, you know, myself if the federal government came and took up arms against me.
Sure, but that's not going to happen. But the federal government does have a right to seize the man's cattle, but they pull back after the confrontation that obviously I think most Americans would agree with you was unnecessary. You can do it another way in a nonviolent way. What's the difference between Mr. Bundy and the Occupy Wall Street crew that doesn't respect the federal government for a variety of reasons and feels it has the right to go into a city like Oakland and burn things down? What's the difference?
Well, the difference is Mr. Bundy's providing a service to the nation. He's, you know, he's a cattle rancher. He's providing the country with beef. The Occupy movement, to this day, I still don't know what they're providing the country with.
But they're both dissenters. They're both dissenting what they feel is an oppressive system. That's what they have in common.
Okay, yeah, they have that in common. I guess the way they're going about it would be different. I haven't seen any reports from the Bundy Ranch that, you know, any supporters of his are destroying property or being arrested like you saw with the Occupy movement.
Okay, legitimate point. Last question for you. Do you believe the federal government is oppressive to you, to your family, to the nation? Do you believe that we are not living in a country that is looking out for the folks anymore?
Oh, definitely. I mean, just the Patriot Act, the National Defense Authorization Act, we're losing ground via our liberties and freedoms on a daily basis.
Now, do you feel you're going to have to defend yourself with firearms down the road?
I see that as a very good possibility, yes, sir.
Now, that frightens a lot of people when you're that candid.
Well, that frightens me.
But you are ready to... But there's going to come a point, though, when you're going to have to make a decision whether to stay in the system that we have here or go out of the system.
Exactly.
And what's going to be the, in your mind, what would be the catalyst for you to go out of the system and fight your own government?
That's really in the government's, you know, the ball's in their court. If they wanted to impose martial law, do something with the banking system, just more infringements on our rights, I mean, it's going to come.
You think it's going to come?
Yes, sir, I do.
All right, Mr. Shaw, we appreciate you coming on this evening.
All right, what did you say about that one?
I won't tell you what I think. I think that they got two different laws here. They got laws for white folks, and they got laws for black folks. If there had been a black man, they either came there in the dead in the middle of the night and drug that brother out and took him to jail. Now I do admit that the federal government is way. Taking advantage, they go on the book. See if them. See, they know that that man was good. There would have been a fight.
You know? Yeah.
Everything. Mm-hmm. You understand? So they didn't confront that brother. They all they did was confront him, and they know not to. It would be another Waco. You understand? If they had did something like that, and the United States can't have another Waco. You understand? Or they can't be on the side of going in and trying to. Manhandling anybody, but I know that there's two laws. You understand, and they would have came and got you or I out of our beds at 3 o'clock in the morning. You understand, and they and drug us out of there and took us to the penitentiary. You understand, and you might not have seen that brother, you or me, ever again. You understand, that's how they do things. You understand, but
And the scary part about it is, you know, when you see white America starting to step up and arm themselves, like you said, martial law, anything going on, anything that you all, the government, decide to do can provoke my group to start defending themselves and defending what they call the Constitution. Because it looks like, from where we sit, that the Constitution has just basically been done away with. I mean, they're trying to take gun control. They're trying to take your right to bear arms away from you. You know, they're censoring your freedom of speech. All of these things are part of your right in the Constitution to be able to do this. And they're taking all these things away from you, which we know that, like you said, there's a separate set of laws for us when they really want to enforce whatever it is they want to enforce, because we are, most of us are 14th Amendment citizens anyway. But when you see them getting ready to gear up, and they're getting their arms and stuff together, it's time to start paying attention, because something is getting ready to happen.
Yeah. Well, one thing that I'm trying to understand here is that, see, our salvation is only in the Creator. We can't get enough guns to go up against these folks. You understand? To stand up for our rights. First of all, you understand that, like you said, we're 14th Amendment slaves. We don't have human rights. You understand? So, but we have to look at it from a spiritual factor. But see, we just can't just depend on the Almighty to just poof and everything gonna be all right. We have to do something, you understand, to provoke the Almighty to watch over us and guide us. We have to do things, you understand, that's gonna gain the Almighty's attention. You understand? Fighting these folks, man, we'll be annihilated. You understand? And we'll be our next generation will have to be trying to get out of this mess. You understand? You know. So what we got to do is try to put things start to try to entreat the Almighty. Remember now, I don't know whether y'all know it or not, but the Almighty has an elect few people that he puts his trust and he loves, and they right here on this earth, you understand, and they have to step up to the plate.
Yeah,
you understand?
That's right.
You know, because remember now, the Almighty Spirit came to Moses. It didn't come to everybody.
No, that's the truth.
You understand?
So now we know that that's happening. Let me give you a little bit more information. Because today is about information. I want to be able to give you some information because my job is to let you know where we are. I mean, you know, because I had the opportunity to experience something this weekend that was really traumatic. But at the same time, when you're in a spiritual mode, you know, spirituality, it gets you connected to the Most High, and it's good to be there. But sometimes you got to come out of that and look at what's happening around you so that you can prepare yourself for what's going on around you. So I want to play this clip for you so that we have information, because our job is to give information for the people who are not conscious as to who they are, or just get you aware of what's going on around you. Because just because the sky is blue and the sun is shining, it doesn't mean that the day is calm. It's some things going on behind the scenes that we don't know anything about. So let me play this for you real quick. Here we go.
We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
The Posse Comitatus Act makes it illegal for the military to roam the streets of America, subjugating the law enforcement duties of local and state law enforcement. Obama, like he has done with virtually all laws.
And I told my administration, we're going to look every single day to figure out what we can do without violence.
His civilian national security force that he promised to create while campaigning in 2008 is now coming to fruition. In a video that has gone viral, former Marine Colonel Pete Martino testified before a local New Hampshire City Council meeting as to whether the city should purchase armored vehicles for their local police force. He testified how local and state law enforcement, not to mention the Department of Homeland Security, has become indistinguishable from the military, that Obama's civilian national security force has arrived.
What's happening here is we're building a domestic military because it's unlawful or unconstitutional to use American troops on American soil. So what we're doing is we're building a military. My best friend is a SWAT officer in Nashua who came to Iraq with me to train the Iraqi police, sent me an email with a picture of him in the media on the streets of Watertown, Mass, wearing the exact same combat gear that we had in Iraq, only with a different color. And what, the way we do things in the military is called task organization. You take a command, and then you attach units to it in order to accomplish the mission. What's happening is Homeland Security is pre-staging gear, equipment, consistent. What they're trying to do is use standardized vehicles, standardized equipment. I saw a picture of the Boston Globe during the marathon bombing where there was a state police officer. Actually, there were two officers. They both had identical helmets, black jackets, weapons, everything I wore in Iraq, only it was all blue. The officer on one side had a big patch on his back that said Massachusetts State Police. Another officer next to him, his patch said Boston Police. And so what we're doing here, and let's not kid about it, we're building a domestic army and we're shrinking the military because the government is afraid of its own citizens.
Yes, Americans have become the new enemy. Remember Al-Qaeda? Those are the guys who flew airplanes into the World Trade Center on 9/11. Weren't they supposed to be America's enemies? Now the so-called rebels in Syria openly identify as Al-Qaeda, and they're being gorged with millions of dollars in weapons by the Obama administration. But everyday Americans have become the new enemy, and Obama's civilian national security force is just getting started. Let us remember that not only was a militarized police roaming the streets of Watertown after the Boston Marathon terrorist attack, but de facto martial law was declared. They were looking for an unarmed teenager, Yahar Zaharnov. Citizens were confined near their homes, and hundreds of militarized police conducted house-to-house searches, illegal searches. Citizens were taken into custody without being charged with a crime. If one unarmed teenager can put an entire metropolitan area under martial law, then no city is safe under the rogue Obama administration. You, conservative America, have become public enemy number one.
Fundamentally transformed.
Brother Donia, what you got to say about that? Anyone that has a question, a comment, concern, please push one. He has a national civilian security force because Tashi Kamatatis is the law that says that military cannot come on the streets of America and police the streets of America. It's against the law. So now he's created a national civilian security force.
You know, that was an amendment to the Constitution during Reagan was president. He said that the Ku Klux Klan can go around and bring people in. They was gonna give them so much per head per person. So they saying any militia, you understand, could do this. So that was enacted in the law a long time ago, you understand. But what's really so ironic is that it ain't going to have to be us that rise up. Them white folks rise up it's going to be martial law. We understand? So, I mean, our only salvation is in our Creator, you understand, who made the heavens and the earth, you understand? We don't have to rise up and riot or anything like that so they can bring martial law. It's going to be them white folks, you understand? They rise up because they were the only ones that got guns, I mean, to any significance. You understand? They got these little groups that they go out into the woods and they play war. You understand? So if they rise up, it's going to be martial law. It don't have to be us rioting in the streets. And they'll shoot us down and we don't have no gun. You understand?
Yeah.
So, you know, so we got to try to get as close to the Almighty. We ain't got no time. Like you said, we ain't got no time, but the Almighty is trying to give us some time, man. You see how, the arm of the Almighty is getting ready to fall, to bring judgment on these people. Yeah. And he's showing the time periods, you know, every week is getting shorter. Every week, man. You know, we look at from one day to the next, man, you understand, it's running into one another. So he's trying to give us some understanding. That blood moon, you understand, was to let us know that he's on his way to straighten out these things, so we need to try to do something. In between the next blood moon, we need to be moving. I mean, you're going to notice a big difference between now and the next blood moon.
And that's some serious stuff. You know, we don't really understand what's going on, but I want to play the tape from Donald Sterling so you guys can hear the whole tape. And because he mentions Israel in this tape about the black Jews, listen to what he said. Listen here. Let me try to get this on here real quick. Hold on one moment. But I was just shocked at how he came across.
Is there anything that I can do to make you feel better?
No, you could never make me feel better. You're just a fighter if you want to fight. And I'm not the man who wants to fight.
I'm sorry, sweetie. Everything was okay and perfect.
I'm just telling you, you told me you were going to bring over. No, Dennis, the second Dennis who looked at me, made that comment.
The world, you go to Israel, the blacks are just treated like dogs.
So do you have to treat them like that too?
The white Jews, there's white Jews and black Jews. You understand?
And are the black Jews less than the white Jews?
100%, 50%.
And is that right?
It is the question. We don't evaluate what's right and wrong. We live in a society. We live in a culture. We have to live within that culture.
But shouldn't we take a stand for what's wrong and be the change and the difference?
I don't want to change the culture because I can't. It's too big.
But you can change
hope.
Yourself.
I don't want to change it. My girl can't do what I want. I don't want the girl. I'll find a girl that will do what I want. Believe me, I thought you were that girl, because I try to do what you want. But you're not that girl.
There's no need to get upset. No need to get...
I just see what I'm living with, what I'm dealing with.
I'm sorry, you didn't do anything.
You never do anything. Never do anything wrong.
But I didn't do anything. I upset you. You made yourself upset.
No, that's not true. You didn't start off by saying, Lindy, I understand we're living in a culture.
Because I don't see your views. I wasn't raised the way you were raised.
Well, if you don't feel it, don't come to my games. Don't bring black people and don't come.
Do you know that you have a whole team that's black that plays for you?
Do I don't? I support them and give them food and clothes and cars and houses. Who gives it to them? Does someone else give it to them? Do I know that I have? Who makes the game? Do I make the game or do they make the game? These are 30 owners that created the league.
I'm not going to bring any black people to the stadium.
Well, is it easy to say that?
It's very easy for you to say that.
For you to say that?
I won't say that to anyone. I would never ask anyone not to bring someone based on race or color or culture. It's like saying, like, let's just persecute and kill all of the Jews.
Oh, it's the same thing, right?
Well, isn't it wrong? Wasn't it wrong then with the Holocaust? And you're Jewish. You understand discrimination?
You're really a mental kid. The Holocaust we're comparing with...
Racism.
There's no racism here. If you don't want to be walking into a basketball game with a certain person, is that racism?
All right. What you say about that? That is the conversation, the whole truth, and none but the truth.
It was difficult to try to hear that, it wasn't coming in as clear as it might have been on your end, you understand, but, he brought all of that stuff, man. Let me tell you what I think really went down there. He's having problems with his young thing, you understand, and she's dealing with a lot of blacks and Hispanics, you understand, and he wasn't getting the attention that he thought that he was needed, you understand? Because if that was the case, if he was getting all the attention that he was needed, he wouldn't have no reason to even confront her about being affiliated with blacks, you understand? But he's an arrogant guy anyway. Most of them people with that money, you understand, they are arrogant, you understand, and they want everything their way and the way they see it, you understand, you know? So anything that happens to him, you understand, he deserved. You understand what I'm saying? Because he's
okay,
been arrogant.
Now let me say something. I don't know whether you guys heard it or it wasn't clear, but the main thing is he is a Israeli. He is a Jew, and what he told her was, and I'll play it again and turn it down if you guys didn't hear it, but what he told her was in Israel, the black Jews are treated like dogs. It's a universal thing. It's nothing I can change. It's nothing up for me to change. But black people in Israel are treated like dogs. He said there are white Jews and there are black Jews. And the black Jews are treated like dogs. And she told him, well, I'm mixed. She said, but and I didn't think it was a problem putting Magic Johnson on my page, and she mentioned another guy because he's mixed. I've seen his mother. So here you had, and he called them slaves at one point, where he said, they are slaves to me. He said, I feed them and I clothe them. She said, well, you have a whole team of black men that play ball for you. He said, you don't think I know that? I feed them and I clothe them, but I do not want you associating with them. So this is another instance and another situation where you have a white Jew, a billionaire now, that owns a basketball team that is professing that we black Jews are treated like dogs in our own land, on our own land.
Yep. Yeah, I agree with you. You understand, you know. Well, that's who they are. They are, you know, they all of them is like that, whether you know it or not. You understand? He's just one that got caught. You understand? But all of them, man, from time to time, they'll bring out their true colors, will show up. You understand? And there ain't no doubt about it, especially the ones with all the money. This guy got $1.5 billion. You understand what I'm saying? He ain't adhering to nobody. And when he sells that team, he going to get almost $300 million when he only bought it for single millions. You understand? So he's going to come out smelling like a rose relentlessly. But the fact of the matter is that, you understand, all them folks is like that, man, whether y'all know it or not. You understand? Those are the coolest people on the face of the earth. Khazars is what their real names are. Hallelujah.
That's what I'm talking about. Check this out. Here we go. Here's some black men talking. Here we go. And they're going to tell you how they feel about who they are and what's going on in their life, because guess what? We have to make a change. We have to get our people to realize, don't fall for the hype. I mean, no matter what you do, don't fall for the hype, because at the end of the day, it's going to be terrible. It's terrible. You know, if we don't come together and we don't do what we need to do, it's going to get real ugly here in a minute. I mean, the reality of black people in America is just terrible. And then, like you said, where do we go? Because if we treat it like dogs in our own land, and I say that again, that's our land, that they're over there on treating us like a dog. Hold on, here we go.
Listen, I'm going to be honest with you, and this is a practice that I engage in every time I am stopped by law enforcement, and I taught this to my son, who is now 33, as part of my duty as a father to ensure that he knows the kind of world in which he's growing up. So when I get stopped by the police, I take my hat off and my sunglasses off. I put them on the passenger side. I roll down my window. I take my hands. I stick them outside the window and on the door of the driver's side, because I want that officer to be as relaxed as he can be when he approaches my vehicle. And I do that because I live in America, right?
Yeah.
And because
before I go to you, I have a very similar thing, although I am a little bit more of an uppity you-know-what, because I actually get up and like, why did you stop me? What did I do? Growing up in Louisiana, people would stop me. My parents did very well. They'd say, where'd you get that car, nigga? Whose car is this, right? And so, and I was coming back from Florida a couple years ago with someone I was dating who happened to be white, and he said, I had never had the police deal with me like that. I'm like, hello, welcome to my life. You don't understand. Well, it doesn't exist to you, it doesn't exist. Go ahead.
That's why white people use the N-word.
Right.
What LaVar just said is so heavy, and I want white folks who are watching the show to see how heavy it is, because here I am, you know, I know Wenton's from New Orleans. I lived in New Orleans for 10 years, and I told you this story once on the show before, but back when I was like 23 living in New Orleans, I graduated from Tulane, and one day I locked myself out of my car on Robert Street, and so I'm trying to break into my car with a coat hanger, and a cop comes up, and he sees me doing it, man, and he does not even ask me for ID or proof that that's my car. He actually, literally, the NOPD, I'm gonna let me finish, the NOPD, and I know Wenton will appreciate this story, the NOPD was like, hey, you're breaking into the car the wrong way. Let me help you. Like the cop was trying to help me break in. Now, there is not a black man in this country, 23 years of old, for whom that would have been the reaction. And I hope people understand how deep what it is. Like LeVar having to put his hands out the window. Like basically what my mom told me was be nice to cops.
Yeah,
she didn't say don't move your hands because you're going to get shot.
Right.
Don't, you know, none of that. Like that, and that is about white privilege. That is about racism, and that is the fundamental difference between the N-word and any other racial term on this planet. That's exactly the point.
All right, what do you say about that one?
Yeah, well, you know, that would Sister Yaina, I have never been stopped by a white police, and I thank the Almighty for that, man, you know. Matter of fact, years ago, I think I stopped, and the police approached me.
I think what you're doing, Brother Donia, you're hitting the button on your phone, because every time you go to talk, it beeps, and then you beep out for a minute, and then you come back in. I think your chin is hitting the buttons or something on your phone.
Not really, but I'll try to do it a different way. Can you hear me now?
Okay. Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah. So I was stopped. The police approached me because I was stopped in the bus stop. You understand? And so when he approached me, man, I immediately froze. I couldn't say nothing. Because in New York City, if you get stopped by the police, pretty much you're going to jail. You understand? So I didn't provoke them in any kind of way. You understand? I got out of the car. We went into, matter of fact, he took me on down to the police station. At that time I was affiliated with Israel. And I had my Tanakh with me, and he said, well, what's that, man? He looked through it. He said, ain't no guns in here, is it? Stand? You know, and I said, no, sir, there's no gun in here. I was waiting on my wife, and blah, blah, blah. I mean, I was really, 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 you know, I had to really, really tone down my attitude I had before on what. Down with them police, you understand? And that's how they got us now, man, you understand? You don't even have to be doing anything, you understand?
Yeah,
I mean, I seen that I was wrong, and I was sitting in the bus stop, you understand what I'm saying? But that, you know, to me, that was a minor infraction. All he had to do was tell me to move on. He asked me to get out of the car and took me downtown, took me to the precinct, you understand? You understand? For something that he could have told me to move on. You understand? So, they got us to a point where we got to be very, very cautious in what we say, do, you understand, when we're confronted with the police. You understand? This was a white police at that time, too. You understand? And I can understand the fear that you get when you confront it. Woo.
And see, you're a man speaking. You know, I've had some situations when I was younger. With the police, but I mean, you know, the whole state, black people, you know, no matter how pretty it looks, no matter how much they say they've changed, no matter how much appears that it changed, it has not changed. I mean, he told you, Silver told you, it's a universal thing. He said, it's a universal thing. It's bigger than me. He said, no, I'm not going to try to change it. He said, all black people are treated like dogs. This came from a white Jewish man. That said, we in Israel, there are white Jews and there are black Jews. And the black Jews in Israel are treated like dogs. He said that out of his own mouth.
Yeah. You understand? And see, you know, one thing, this didn't happen overnight. You understand? They put this in place and they worked their shows. Remember now, we're dealing with the coolest people on the face of the earth. I want you all to understand, I can't say that more times than you know, to let you know that these people, man, are real cruel, and they put these things in place. They made every and see, that brings me back to Psalms 83, when it talks about how they're never going to allow us to be recognized as a nation ever again. And so what they're never going to allow us to play. See, As long as they're in power, them Europeans, them so-called so-called Jews, and namely, not going to allow us to become a nation ever again. They're going to use every tactic that they possibly can. They're going to deplete the genealogy, you understand, the nationality of us, you understand, by having us inbreed. Marry into those Jewish nations, or marry into them white folks, you understand? And when your children come out, they become lighter, you understand? And they marry some other white guy, you understand? And before they know it, you understand, they got a whole new nation. And Israel will be no more, you understand? So
that's right.
All this plays into them not allowing us to be a nation ever again.
Ever again. That's right. And it's all a conspiracy. And you know what? For people to listen to us talk, they would be like, those people are crazy. But the more you realize what's really going on, and the more the Most High really opens up your eyes, and that's why I like the class that we have during the week. And it's just a simple school of education. We just go over the scriptures. We don't go into anything deep. We just read the word. Because, and if someone asked me, you know, are you going to get into precepts when you start the class? And I said, no, because the power is in the simple part of the word to read it. Because once you know the whole story, then you can go back and start precepting different things. Once you realize, and I just had a conversation with one of my family members yesterday, and she's been to seminary school, but she wants to argue me down that, no, God is about love. And I cannot believe that he would just choose one particular group of people over everybody else. And I said, well, sweetheart, I'm sorry to give the beat a bearer of bad news, but he did. He chose a nation of people for himself. He chose a nation to be a nation unto himself. And that nation is the black Negroes that are in all over the world. I can't even say in America, all over the world that are suppressed right now. And we are being kept suppressed because of the fact that they know who we are, and they cannot allow us to stand up, because the moment they do, our God is coming to defend us. And this is the reason why we're in the shape that we're in right now. And that's why we're on this radio show every week saying, stop killing each other. So let's start coming together. We're doing a think tank in Atlanta on October the 29th, 30th, and 31st. We're bringing about 25 people from the Ohio area down there. We're coming in buses because we need to come together and let you all know down in that city and every other city that will allow us to come. It's time to come together and start getting together, because this is not just a random thing that's happening. This is happening to us all over the world.
That is
correct.
This
is going on. Oh, he said in Israel. Silver said in Israel. There are white Jews and black Jews, and the black Jews are treated like dogs. Well, guess what? In America, there is white people and black people, and the black people are treated like dogs. It doesn't matter where you go. We've been scattered all over through the transatlantic slave trade, and we are second-class citizens in whatever country we're in. They make sure they keep their foot on our neck.
That is correct. And, you know, like you said,
I'm sorry, go ahead. They make sure that their foot is consistently on our neck. And why? Because guess what? They know who we are. We don't know who we are. And guess what? We don't walk around. We don't walk around in special clothing. We don't walk around talking crazy. We are the royal seed. We are the seed that says, stand up, everybody, and let us talk. Let us sit down and let us tell you what's going on, so that you understand that this is not the end of the story, that there is hope, because the Most High is waiting on us to stand up.
That is correct. Absolutely correct. Positively correct. You understand? And anybody that disputes this, what you're saying, tell them start in the middle, start in the beginning. You understand? And read through. Yes, the Almighty chose the specific peoples.
He did. He chose the specific people unto himself.
That's good.
And you know what? I have to apologize for Brother Adonai's phone under the guy, everyone that's under the sound of my voice, because he keeps breaking in and out. But, you know, we catch the gist of it all, so we do understand what he's trying to say. You know, but at the end of the day, we have to realize, we have to come to the conclusion that there is something about us that they are seriously and seriously afraid of, and we've got to do something to get to our people so that they know that we are his nation and he has separated us from all of the other nations on the earth, that we are a special. The scripture said he has our name written in the palm of his hand. He has it engraved in the palm of his hand so that he can remember the promise that he made to our forefathers, that he wouldn't leave us in this condition. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Today is Sunday, and I know that the black church is full. It's full. But I want to say this to you, that no matter how full the church is and no matter what you're going through in your church, we just know for the surety that we're on our way back home to our own land.
That is correct. My phone is still going in and out.
Yep.
Oh, man. I apologize for this inconvenience.
Well, you know what? I was just told that it's both of our phones is going in and out. But you know what? The enemy is upset about what we're doing, and they trying to stop us with what we're doing. But it's okay, you know, because we're going to still do it the best we can, and hopefully everybody will be able to get the message and understand what we're trying to say. But, you know, we go through all kind of attacks. We've been under all kind of attacks. It's off the chain, but for real, at the end of the day, we've got a message to get out. And if we have to do it face-to-face, we'll do it face-to-face, because we got to stop this, what's going on, because most of our people are I'm going to play this one more clip for you, because I want you to hear this, and it won't be that long, but give me one moment. Here we go.
A recent report by the U.S. Sentencing Commission shows that over the last 5 years, African-American men have been getting longer prison sentences than white men. And that same report says men getting longer sentences are getting them longer rather than women. While it does not address why judges hand out the longer sentences, Attorney General Eric Holder said last week the numbers disturb him. Speaking in New York, Holder said it's time to ask fundamental questions about our nation's criminal justice system. So tonight the Face-Off guys address their own question about who should really address this issue of disparity.
Well, many in this country are angry with the Attorney General Eric Holder for standing up at a convention and telling the truth. He said that there's a problem in America with its criminal justice system when statistics show from the Department of Justice that black men who commit the same crimes as white men get sentenced to prison longer than white men do. But that's not a surprise to any of us. We've always known in this country that racism has been dealt to black men and black people and people of color in the criminal justice system. That's why so many of us protest against and are angry with it, because only those who have the complexion for the protection get the benefit from the criminal justice system.
You know what? Eric Holder should be in jail. And quite frankly, we'll take a couple of those black adults, those black men that you're complaining about, take one or two of them out. Let's put Eric Holder in jail, because there's a guy that deserves to be in prison. But how do you know? How do you know if a judge is racist or not? You know what, Quanell, if there is a problem, and I wouldn't disagree with you that it certainly seems as though black adults seem to be spending more time in prison than whites, we've heard that before, then why doesn't somebody do something about it? Eric Holder should be in prison. He's got Russell Simmons, Kim Kardashian, Lil Wayne. You know why nobody pays attention, Quanell? Because those people, no one's going to listen to. They're entertainers.
Matt, whether you like it or not, the facts present the facts, and the truth is, black men are being sentenced to prison much longer than white men for the same crimes and same criminal backgrounds. At the end of the day, that is racism.
Okay,
that's
Quanell.
The only thing
okay.
That's the root of it.
All right. Let's assume you're right. Let's just say you're right. Eric Holder, no one's going to listen to because that guy should be in jail. Kim Kardashian, Lil Wayne, Sharpton, get somebody
Matt.
Talking about it that people can believe, Quanell.
No, Matt, see, what you all want is some pacified, sissified, homogenized, overfried Negro leader to say what you all want to say about the subject matter so you all are not threatened. At the end of the day, black leaders should stand up, Hispanic leaders and white leaders who believe in God and the truth.
Let me tell you,
and tell America this is wrong.
You don't
sentence black people.
I don't listen to you
because they're strictly
black. You can threaten me all you want,
Quanell,
and it's not going to make me pay attention to you.
Let me tell you,
white men
are being sentenced less than black men. Those are the facts. Let's do something about it.
Okay.
Bottom line.
Okay.
Then get somebody to stand up that I can listen to other than Eric Holder, Kim Kardashian, and Lil Wayne.
We are not going to allow you conservative Tea Party members to tell our community who should speak for our community. At the end of the day, everybody should speak the facts. And the fact is there's racism in the criminal justice system, and black men are being sentenced disproportionately than white men. Something must change that, whether you like it or not.
So you heard Brother Malcolm Kwale.
All right, what do y'all think about that one?
I think that, you know, see, you know what's really, you know, ironic? He said, Eric Holder needs to be in the penitentiary. Now, let me see some evidence. They say things out their mouth, but they don't bring no evidence. You understand? They only say that so that they can get their base to hear those type of things and get them all riled up. You understand what I'm saying? You know, they say a lot of stuff, man. They talking about he's not going to be recognized. He's the attorney general. That's recognition. You understand? But they don't want to hear nothing that's real and true. You understand? They're not going to listen. They said, bring me somebody that I can listen to. If they brought him somebody that they could listen to, they wouldn't even hear it then.
They won't kill him. They done killed everybody that's been stood up.
That is correct. You understand? That is correct. So these they're not going to, you know, they don't care. Look here. You know, if you change things, that means that they get out of power, stop getting that money, don't have that prestige. You understand? So they ain't going to hear nothing nobody got to say, you understand, that's going to stop that. You understand? They're not going to listen to nobody. I don't care if the Almighty came down in front of them. Well, that's a different story, because they're going to recognize that the Almighty, you understand, is going to change things. You understand? They all going to know that it comes from the Almighty.
I don't know about that. That is debatable. Hold on. Check this out. Here we go. Check this out.
Let's listen to her talk about affirmative action.
You know, I think, God gave us two ears so we could hear both sides of the argument.
Let me let you know who this is. This is Representative Sally Kern. Her name is spelled K-E-R-N. She's a representative for Oklahoma City, and she's giving information about the affirmative action law. Here we go.
Heard tonight already that in prison there's more black people. Yes, there are, and that's tragic. It's tragic that our prisons here in Oklahoma, what are they, 99% occupancy? But the other side of the story, perhaps we need to consider, is this just because they're black that they're in prison? Or could it be because they didn't want to work hard in school? And white people oftentimes don't want to work hard in school, or Asians oftentimes. But a lot of times, that's what happens. I taught school for 20 years, and I saw a lot of people of color who didn't want to work as hard. They wanted it given to them. Matter of fact, I had one student that said, I don't need to study. You know why? The government's going to take care of me. That's kind of revealing there.
Mm. JR, I want to go back. I want to play the end of that again. Maybe the last, if we can, or just let. There's a great shot of one of the representatives. First, there's one woman in front who's watching her who stays exactly the same, just looks at her the entire time, unmoved entirely. Then there's a guy a couple of rows behind her who's just, no, he's not there yet in the picture yet. I would come back a little further if we can. His seat is now vacant, but he was sitting there, and I love this guy because he's just shaking his head, he's laughing, then he stands up and he walks out. Let's see if we can see that again. Oh, there he is.
A lot of people of color who didn't want to work as hard, they wanted it given to them.
Man. He's like,
in fact, I had one student
I got
to
get out of here. This is ridiculous. I love
it. So here we go. And, I mean, it's just in one thing after another, you know, and until we wake up, because our babies are being locked up, our men are locked up, our women are by themselves raising children. Like we said, we're doing a think tank in Atlanta, Georgia. We're coming to the city. We'll come to your city, but we need to sit down to the table and figure out what we need to do, because we are a black nation. We are the nation. We are the Silva, the owner of the, what's the name of the basketball team? the whatever they are. The one, what is it, Brother Donnie?
The Clippers.
The Clippers. He just said in an interview, when we played the tape, he said it out of his own mouth. He said, in Israel. Now, I want you all to pay attention because we have a Jew that is giving revelational knowledge to the world. He said, in Israel, there are white Jews and there are black Jews. And the black Jews are treated like dogs.
Mm-hmm.
That's our land. That's the land that we originated from, that we are, oh, my goodness. And we're over here, and we in America, we treat it like dogs.
In Africa, which is supposed to be the motherland, they got people over there that's treated like dogs under them Europeans. They've been treated like dogs. European went over there, and now when they have a child, their child is called African. How is that possible? and what it says in the scriptures that we will be scattered throughout the whole world from four corners of the earth. Are y'all hearing me? Am I still bringing up, Yaina? Huh?
No, you found that's terrible.
All over the whole world. We've been scattered all over the whole world. And wherever we are scattered at, we are on the bottom. We're not even in the middle. We are on the bottom. You understand? We are struggling, you understand, on a day-to-day basis, you understand, to eat. Africans are struggling in their own land. You understand? They don't, you know, I mean, it's just a ridiculous thing here. You understand? This is an African land, and them Europeans went over there and raped and scraped everything out of that land. Took all the gold, all the material. Now they're after the oil that's in Nigeria, I think it is. You understand? They trying to get possess the gold over there, so they just started a war. You understand? Have us pitted against one another. You understand? Oh man! You understand? This has to be understood that in the scriptures it said that we will be scattered all over the world under peoples that we never knew, that our forefathers never knew. And who were those? It wasn't Esau. Our fathers knew Esau. Had to be the European. So what I'm trying to get everybody to understand is that the scriptures is true to the word of the Almighty. You understand? He said what he was going to do and said that we was going to be under the thumb of somebody else, and we was going to go through a curse. We're in that curse right now.
Right
now.
Right.
And we're being,
now,
go ahead.
Check this out. I want you to hear this one more thing. Check this out.
The host in Atlanta, he's been spewing bigotry and hate for decades. The conservatives down there, of course, like him for that. He says what they're thinking but can't say out loud. This time around, he has gone way overboard. We've covered him before, and he said outrageous and ridiculous things, and, you know, the incredible insults he had against the Hurricane Katrina victims, etc. But get a load of this. Let's listen.
This city harbors an urban culture of violence. And I want you to look around. You drive into the city. The railroad overpasses on the downtown connector, covered with graffiti. And that is just an advertisement to everybody coming into this town that we really don't give a damn about those who would screw up our quality of life around here. Welcome to Atlanta. Here's some of our finest graffiti from some of our finest urban thugs and their little gang signs. And we got too damn many urban thugs, yo, ruining the quality of life for everybody. And I'll tell you what it's going to take. You people, you need to have a gun. You need to have training. You need to know how to use that gun. you need to get a permit to carry that gun, and you do, in fact, need to carry that gun, and we need to see some dead thugs littering the landscape in Atlanta. We need to see the next guy that tries to carjack you shot dead right where he stands. We need more dead thugs in this city. And let their mamas say, he was a good boy. He just fell in with a good crowd, and then lock her ass up.
Yo, who is that, Neil Book? Who is that, Neil Book?
That's down there where you at. Yep, that's where you at in Atlanta. That's some serious stuff. I mean, it's just a totally different law. It's like, you know, we've always been second-class citizens, and affirmative action came out years ago to allow us to have jobs. They offered opportunities for us to be able to have jobs and to be able to acquire houses and do things like that. But, yes, I do admit we do have a problem with crime in our community. We have a problem with our family structure in our community. But you know what that comes from? That comes from tearing down the black family. And the Willie Lynch syndrome was real, and it's still real today. And, yeah, you might have a few that managed to crawl up out of the jar before they put the lid on it. But at the end of the day, we're all in the same situation. And if the least of us is down, all of us is down. Because when they look at us, they do not separate us from the rest of them. You still a nigga no matter what you do. So this is where we are in this country, and it has not changed because they know who we are. We are still considered to be slaves. We are still considered to be their slaves. And the problem is, the irony of it all is, we have a black president and a attorney general is black, and we still haven't achieved anything. So in my opinion, it's time to start standing up. It's time to start coming together. It's time to get our young people in order and let them know all of the killing and stuff is going to have to cease. And it's time to start making plans to get up out of here. Because guess what? At the end of the day, we're going to be the last one to eat. We're going to be the last one they provide anything for. And when it all goes down, we are going to be the ones that's going to have to stand for ourselves. So we might as well start now.
Yeah. You know, one thing that, you know, you are absolutely right. You understand, in what you're saying. You understand. But you hear what Neil Barks just said. He said there's graffiti, and that's messing up the quality of our life. We need to get guns, shoot them down for their graffiti. That's what he implied. Just for some writings on the wall, we need to be shot down. You understand? Yeah. These people are real sick, boy. You understand? Criminal is more to it than anything. You understand? You know, and you're absolutely right. We need to come together and find out how we're going to sustain our lives. You understand?
We got to, and see,
we can do this here, you know. See, what happens is they took away, you know, they brought us over here as slaves. You understand? Never gave us a dollar. You understand? We lived in the poorest conditions, under the poorest conditions, you understand, from day one up until this day.
Yeah.
You understand? Then when they did allow us to get jobs, you understand what I'm saying? They paid us the lowest wages, you understand? And nowadays when you go get a job, man, they tell you you got to wait 2 weeks. You've been out of a job for 6 years, and then they tell you you got to wait 2 weeks after working to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yep, absolutely.
You understand? They got something for us, boy. You understand? They put dope in the neighborhood after they took all the jobs that we were on and sent them overseas. You understand what I'm saying? Send them to, you know, let other folks work and build stuff that gives inferior products when it comes back. You understand? You can't go nowhere in any one of these stores and find no product made in America right now today. You understand? After they knocked us out of a job, they took dope and put it in your neighborhood. You understand? We'll kill them with the dope. You understand? We'll let them sell dope, go to jail for selling dope. You understand? And become addicts. You understand what I'm saying? And we'll get them that way. You understand? Then when we act out, You understand what I'm saying? They want to shoot us off and kill us off. You understand? And they expected something different to come out of that? I just want to know what they're thinking. Go ahead.
They want a leader to stand up. They want a leader to stand up and lead us all. And every last one of them that we've had, you've shot them down and killed them, or you've infiltrated them into your little club and given them some money so that they can stand up and smile and have the wonderful American dream. Well, guess what? The dream done turned into a nightmare. It's over. Everybody wake up. It's over. Come on up out the stupor. Wake up. Wash your face and get the crud out the side of your eyes because it's time to go back home. The dream has dissipated into a nightmare. It is no longer a dream. Anytime a country has lost its manufacturing capabilities and most 90% of the gross domestic product that we have is imported from another country, this country is on its way down. Anytime we are no longer producing our own goods and services, we are on our way out. And guess what?
That
they
is correct.
To build it, and now it's almost over, and they're getting ready to do something to get rid of us. And I'm telling you all better wake up. You better come out of them clubs, and you better come out of them churches, and you better come sit down and figure out what's going on. But like I said, spirituality is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to praise the Almighty Yah. It's a wonderful thing to lift up holy hands and give him praise because he's worthy of it all. But at the end of the day, he expects you to know what's going on around you and know what's happening in government, know what's happening in community, and know what's happening in prophecy. And most of the people that are out there today don't have a clue as to what's going on. Before you wake up and you realize that they're going to have, what do they call it, the National Civilian Security League or agency coming in to be able to seize all of the things that you have and usher you into them concentration camps. Those concentration camps are real. Those concentration camps are fully staffed. Those concentration camps are waiting for residents. And if the black people don't stop shaking and what they call it, twerking, and herking and doing whatever it is you do, you better start waking up before it's too late. Take all the weeds off, take all them eyelashes off, and come sit down and figure out what's going on so when it do go down, you'll be able to feed your babies. That's the real
of all. That is absolutely correct.
And
we don't do nothing, don't expect.
Speaking in tongues, man. I'm sorry, go ahead. What'd you say?
No, what I was going to say is, you understand, we're contributing to our own demise if we don't do nothing.
Yes, sir.
You understand?
And guess what? What's his name? Jay-Z can't do it. Cut him off. Beyonce can't do it. Cut them off. They serve Satan. And they let you know up front they serve Satan. Cut them off.
Oh, you seen that CD, that DVD, that video that I showed you?
I saw it. And we don't need no movie stars and no rap artists to identify us. We are kings and royalty. We came from a royal family. And we don't need no movie stars and no rap artists to represent us and represent us as black people. We got a whole nation full of rich, wealthy inheritance and ethnic heritage behind us to the point we need to stand up and realize that. We don't need all of that stuff. Cut all that mess off. They do that. Like he said, the basketball players are slaves to me. I feed them and I clothe them. And we put our boys in those slave camps so they can make that money and they can have all that wealth and stuff. And then they got us on TV fighting like hyenas. The likes of basketball wives, hip-hop and love or whatever that mess is they got on television. You guys better wake up before it's too late. Because when they bring it down on you, it ain't nothing nobody going to do because we can only stay on here as long as we can because at some point we're leaving.
That is correct. You're absolutely right. You understand? You know, we got to trust in the Almighty and get up and do something. Do what the Almighty will have us to do. You understand? He inspires us. Light bulb come on over your head once you get the understanding of the Almighty. You understand? It'll come on over your head, and that's the inspiration that the Almighty will give you. And there's nothing under the sun that they can do to stop us from doing what the Almighty ordained us to do. You understand? And you will see it. The Almighty is great. You understand? All we have to do is want to do something. Want to. He tomorrow morning when you wake up, man, you'll be on fire trying to get to do something if you want to. But if you don't want to, yeah, you understand, you're going to lay in that bed, man, and expect them folks to send that check.
and
that's going to be stopped.
Off, guess what? They can already cut the checks off. They're going to cut the checks off. They're going to cut the food stamps off in a minute. You know, the everything is going to become digital money. So as far as the drug sales and the drug deals, all that's going to be obsolete. And they're going to shut you down to the point where you're going to something very traumatic. And let me calm down because I don't want to get upset, but I want to say this. Something very traumatic is about to happen. Something very traumatic in this country is about to happen that is going to put everyone on edge. And they're going to come in with a solution to save the day. So and most of our people are looking to them to save the day. And this is when you're going to have to make a decision. This is when it's going to get real. This is when it's going to get serious. Because I'm telling you, as you are under the sound of my voice, we have not been on this because we wanted to make a name for ourselves. We have not been on this radio show paying it every month so that you all could get to know us as celebrities, because we just ordinary people. We have a message to give to you. We will come to your city. But at the same time, we want you to realize this is serious. Everybody better start waking up and paying attention and cut that mess off that's on that television and sit down and start strategizing. We have done everything in our power to give you information about strategies. We've given you information about what's going to happen. We've given you information about the government. We've given all kind of information to you, and nobody's paying attention. Nobody's paying attention.
Yeah, well, you know, like you said, it's something dramatic got to happen and one other thing, even though something dramatic happens, a lot of people ain't going to get it. They're not going to get it, man. They're not going to get it. I would love for them to get it, but it's not. It's not going to happen. You understand what I'm saying? Moses left behind a bunch of our brothers and sisters in around the door, Mary. You understand? And a bunch of them didn't do it. You understand? And they perished right along with those Egyptians. Now, Egypt didn't fall overnight. It took some time. You understand? But I know that they went through natural hell. You understand? You know, it wasn't pretty. You understand what I'm saying? Before they perished. You understand? See, you can't find an Egyptian in Egypt today. All of them is Arabs. Hallelujah.
Now they sure are. And guess what? And you know what? I'm so glad that David Silva did what he did and made the comment that he made, because it gives us more information to let us know that Israel is not going to be our location when we get there, because he's got to clean it out first before we can go in it. And the scripture,
you know, my prediction. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I interrupted.
We're going to be cleaning up dead bodies for 7 months before we even go in there. So we have to go to the wilderness. We are you know, and I'm sure that if we were to sit down with the Tea Party and some of the right wing and left wing groups and the Ku Klux Klan and all of them, and let them know, hey, we don't want to be here no more than you want us to be here. We realize now that we are the original Hebrew Israelites of the scripture, and we want out of here. We want to get out of this country. When the time comes, when the Most High says it's time to go, we want to be able to go. I'm sure that, you know, a whole lot of things would stop if they knew that our goal was to get up out of here, because they've been wanting this country to themselves for a long time. And my thing is, have at it. Enjoy yourself. Have at it, because we are out of here.
That is correct. That is correct. Yeah. What I was going to say is that I got a prediction. I predict that within the next 3 years, the Almighty is going to make some real significance into the direction that we should go. You understand? Within the next 3 years, you understand? Because if we look at what's happening, you understand? The days are running into one another, pretty much. You understand? You can go to sleep right now today, and when you wake up, it'll be Wednesday. You know, so I think that the Almighty is going to make a significant something significant is going to happen within the next 3 years, and we'll understand that it's coming from the Almighty. That's what I believe. Mm-hmm. You understand? So, you know, because the time is getting short for the Almighty to stretch out his arms in judgment. He's going to judge all these nations that kept us captive. It says that in the scriptures. You understand? So the time is short, and within the next 3 years, you will recognize. You understand? You know, something drastic might be the event, but if something going to happen within the next 3 years, and we will understand that it's coming from the Creator. That's my prediction.
Well, you know what? I hope your prediction is right. We have a lot to look forward to, and mainly don't buy into the system. I mean, as long as we're here, you still have to go to college. You still have to get degrees. You still have to be able to work in the system. You still have to follow the laws. As long as they do not break the laws of Yah, you still have to follow the laws of the land. But start preparing yourself, preparing your family, because while they got all the television shows where everybody's dancing and partying and having a good time, believe you me, those people are prepared because they know something is coming. And we sit around and we act like we don't know what's going on. And as many times that we've been on this radio show warning and pleading and teaching and asking people to start doing certain things to just protect yourself. You know, I hope that you guys have been paying attention. I implore you, every extra dime you get, every extra penny you get, start putting some food up, putting some water up, preparing as best you can. And the Most High will protect us. He will cover us, but he does expect us to do some things to protect and cover ourselves. You know, we have to make a sincere effort. We're here to preserve our people because everybody else is looking out for their people. And then the white guy that came on there and said that he's prepared to fight against the government, believe you me when I tell you they are ready, strapped, prepared, and ready to survive the fallout and be able to feed themselves by any means necessary. And we are so codependent as a people on the government that if those food stamps don't load, everybody goes into a panic. And it's like one day they're going to cut it in half and then cut it off.
That is correct. That is correct. You understand? One other thing that I wanted to say, it's all right to go to work, you understand, and to support your family in this condition that we're in, you understand? But we got to have plan B or plan A. You understand?
Yes.
Well, if that job cuts you off, you got to have plan A. I mean, if it ain't nothing but getting with your neighbor, you understand what I'm saying? And y'all stacking up stuff together, you understand? You know, like I had said a long time ago, in Africa, they got this saying that if we gather ourselves together, the ant eats the elephant. You understand? And I'm saying that to say that we can solve all our problems if we gather ourselves together as a nation. You understand? Start putting stuff together. You understand? I suggest that you put some water up, some toilet paper, and some sanitary napkins for those women.
and food. Don't forget
food.
Well, food,
you understand,
is
that's a given. You got to do that. You don't do that, you understand, you're going to starve to death. You understand? But, you understand,
you know, because
those things, man, right there
food.
is things that you're not going to readily. Man, you be in the woods and don't have no toilet paper. Whew. My goodness.
You got to use leaves. It's called leaves, you know? For real, it's called leaves. You got to make do with what we'll make do, but ain't nothing worse than not having no water and not having no food. And like I said, we depend on the government to feed us. We depend on the government to house us. We depend on all of those things, which we have no choice in. We have to do those things. But guess what? Russia is getting ready for war. China is getting ready for war, and they ready to do whatever they need to do to make this thing happen. And this is pretty serious.
Mm-hmm. That is correct. You understand? That's why I said the hand of the Almighty is getting ready to weigh in on this place right here, all the people that kept us captive. And we need to be hidden in the day of his great wrath. You understand? So we need to get ourselves together. You understand what I'm saying? Those are civil rights leaders that we got, they can't save us. You understand? They embedded in this society here. You understand? They ain't gonna be able to save their own soul. You understand? You know what's so ironic?
They got underground. They got underground camps ready to go in the underground cities. They ready to go underground. They know what's getting ready to jump off, and that's why I said for us to be sitting around like sitting ducks dancing and twerking, it's time out for that. Now,
I
you
know
can
that's
not believe
right.
If you want to, keep it up, but it's time out for that. And they come up, bring us a leader, somebody that will stand up in your community, that's willing to stand up in your community. Like, I dare you to bring somebody that's willing to stand up because most of them scared. You done killed them all. But I guess if the mama's got to stand up, I will. I'll stand up and let everybody know it's time to wake up. Come out of them churches because they keeping you asleep. Come out of them in them jails, come out of them clubs, and come out of them strip clubs, put some clothes on, and come sit down and figure out what's going on. Because at the end of the day, when the sky turn black, all that's going to be desolate anyway. Ain't nobody going to be – and the sirens start going off, it's going to be a whole new ball game. We will come to your city, we will set up shop, and we will start educating you on the things that we know, and we have everything we need, computer systems, video recorders, everything to be able to show you what's getting ready to go down because you guys don't have a clue.
You don't have a clue. Yeah, we don't need to go on no radio station and tell them white folks nothing. You understand? We need to be telling our folk how to straighten up our thing and what to do. Because in essence, they ain't going to listen to us no way. You understand? They like you said, they killed us. You understand, that stood up. And they was only there to sustain our living till this day and time right now. It's time for Israel to make a move on for our own destiny. You know, take our we can't depend on no martyr or civil rights leader or anybody like that. Man, we need to stand up on our own 2 feet and do things that's gonna sustain our living. You understand? And trust it that the Almighty will bless our hand in doing so. You understand? Like you said, you know, prayer is a significance. But after you finish praying, get up off your knees, you understand, and find something to do. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I wanted you to listen to this because these are the things that we have to be in fear of. If you have a question, concern, please push 1. But it's time for people to start paying attention. Because this is getting real serious. Here we go. Check this out.
Ukraine is not some distant land. It is right in Europe here. We got Ukraine here. And just a reminder, these countries neighboring Europe, they're all NATO allies. Poland, Slovakia, Hungary, Romania. In fact, all these countries in green are NATO countries. And just look at the distances. You know, Kiev to Frankfurt, it's only a couple hours flight. Kiev down to Rome, a couple hours, a little longer to London. This is not some distant land. To have this kind of division, violent division, right in the middle of Europe causes instability. It's a real worry to all these countries and to the U.S. because we're so close to them. Why does Russia care? Let's look at this next map. We've heard a lot about Sevastopol. This is the Black Navy, the Black Sea Fleet for the Russians. It's their only warm water port. All their ports up here in wintertime, often not accessible. And this one here is so key because it gives them access to the Mediterranean and then out to the Atlantic here. And this is the key national security for interest, really, when it comes to Ukraine and Crimea. And that's why when those 6,000 troops first moved into the Crimea, this is where they went first, right around Sevastopol. And it shows this is a key issue, not just for the West, certainly for Russia.
The whole country of Ukraine is pretty divided right now. And I want you to explain to our viewers how that unfolds.
No question. You can see it right here in the map. Here is eastern Ukraine bordering Russia. These are the percentages of ethnic Russians speaking. Here, 75% speak Russian, ethnic Russian. Here, 75%. Here, all over 50%. Once you get into the western part of Ukraine bordering, remember these NATO allies here, here, and here. We're looking at only 5% ethnic Russian up here in the western parts of Ukraine, and that is also reflected in the pull between east and west. Many people here feel the pull towards Russia, deep cultural, historic ties, language ties. Many here feel the pull towards the EU and the West, and we've seen that reflected in their elections as well. In 2010, when voters went to the polls, this part of the country voted for the pro-Russian candidate, Viktor Yanukovych. This part of the country voted for the pro-European candidate, Yulia Tymoshenko, who until a week ago was in prison.
The U.S. and its NATO allies have begun military exercises in the Black Sea amid the ongoing tensions on the Crimean Peninsula there. The war games are held by the naval forces of the United States, Bulgaria, and Romania, with the American destroyer USS Truxtun taking part in the drills. Bulgaria says the military maneuvers are aimed at enhancing the operative compatibility of NATO's naval forces. Participants also said the exercises had been planned last year. However, they come at a time when tensions are running high in the Black Sea peninsula of Crimea. The region is now part of Ukraine, but it's seeking a secession from the crisis-fit nation to join neighboring Russia.
NATO fighter jets training Tuesday, a show of solidarity against Russia, just as NATO foreign ministers announced a suspension of military cooperation with Moscow. The U.S. had already put on hold joint training with Russia.
Russia today has challenged truths that only a few weeks ago appeared to be self-evident, that in the 21st century, the borders of Europe would not be redrawn with force.
But U.S. officials tell CNN the overwhelming majority of the 40,000 Russian troops remain in place on its border with Ukraine. Several hundred may have moved around, but it's not clear any have actually left. On the Ukraine side of the border, CNN's Carl Penhall found poorly equipped forces preparing to defend themselves against an invasion they still expect.
And throughout the day, the military have been pulling up armored vehicles and tanks.
NATO will now boost its own security posture.
Today we directed our military commanders to develop additional measures to enhance our collective defense and deterrence against any threat of aggression to the alliance. We will make sure we have updated military plans, enhanced exercises, and appropriate deployments.
But could Russia be pushed too far and retaliate? NATO and U.S. supplies for the war in Afghanistan often travel through Russian territory and airspace. Russia and the U.S. coordinate intensively on arms control and nuclear weapons testing.
2-1, turn.
Working together is still vital.
I don't think we want to cut off any cooperation on counterterrorism. Russia has provided us with useful warnings. We've provided warnings to them.
But Russian President Vladimir Putin may have gotten exactly what he wanted, keeping control of Crimea. As long as he doesn't invade Ukraine, the West may be happy to let him keep what territory he has. Barbara Starr, CNN, the Pentagon.
Hi, well, you see what's going on?
Yeah.
This thing is getting really serious. They're getting ready to go to war. They're preparing for war. They have their military people in war. And then there's one more thing I want to enlighten the people on about our U.S. military. Let me play this one more clip for you.
But maintain security. The President and the Pentagon outlined the reshaping of the U.S. military and its focus. And as the U.S. presence in Afghanistan has begun winding down.
Yes, the tide of war is receding. But the question that this strategy answers is what kind of military will we need long after the wars of the last decade are over. And today, we're fortunate to be moving forward from a position of strength.
The Defense Strategy Review, outlined at the Pentagon, aims to refocus U.S. strategy toward an increased presence in the Pacific, with an eye toward China and its rapid military buildup. The review also marks a shift away from military budgets that exploded in the wake of 9/11. Congress enacted defense cuts last summer, amounting to more than $489 billion over the next 10 years. But the cuts will mean streamlining, with the Army dropping from 570,000 possibly to 490,000 soldiers over 10 years. The size of the Marine Corps is also expected to be reduced. He does not mean to repeat mistakes made after World War II and Vietnam by cutting too much.
Our military will be leaner, but the world must know the United States is going to maintain our military superiority with armed forces that are agile, flexible, and ready for the full range of contingencies and threats.
That did not stop criticism of the new strategy from Republicans in Congress. The chair of the House Armed Services Committee, California Congressman Howard Buck McKeon, issued a statement calling it a lead-from-behind strategy for a left-behind America.
Должна размываться, даже если это удобно для достижения каких-то текущих политических целей. Вплоть до цели избраться.
And basically what he's saying here, because they have been speaking his language, he was basically saying that, you know, that we're basically sitting ducks, and as they begin to shrink our military and our military forces is shrinking, it threatens our state, our sovereignty. And if they can come in and take over our country, then because our military is low, it's really serious things going on right now. So, I mean, you know, with all of the things that's going on and the heightened security, you know, in the Black Sea or wherever that is over in Crimea, and the things that are happening with Russia and China and Iran, it's already been said that if Iran has proved to have nuclear weapons, that they're going to be stopped. It's a lot of stuff happening right now at this moment.
Do you know what Reverend Rice said? He said the chickens have come home to roost, which means that you can't continue doing evil. Evil only going to last for a little while, and then it starts affecting everybody. Treat Black folks in a certain manner, and it just don't, and it don't affect them. See, now all of them European countries is being affected. You understand? If you look on the news, you'll see them uprising, and all the peoples is out in the street. You understand? Doing all them things that they seen being done in Iraq and all of those things. Now it's happening in Europe. So you can't continuously do evil and it don't affect you at some point. You understand? And what they're doing now here is they contributed to their own demise. You understand? Everybody got nuclear weapons. You understand? And it ain't like everybody got a gun and ain't nobody going to use it. You understand?
That's true. That is true.
They still want to be the superpower.
Yeah.
You understand? So the United States... Ironic here is that the only people that United States.
That's crucial. That's crucial.
I mean,
the breakdown of a nation.
Yeah.
Crucial.
You understand? That is correct. You understand? So they contributing to their own is gather ourselves by Almighty said so that we could be hidden in the day of the Almighty's great.
Yes, come together, gather ourselves,
earthquakes
our
and tornadoes and all of that stuff. Them guys have set up so that they can kill one another.
Yeah, that's the truth. That is the truth. And you know what? China's military is so strong, and Russia's military is so strong. And I'm not taking anything away from America, but man, this is getting ready to get really, really interesting here. You know,
I got a saying that I always say. You understand? It's good. It's better. Then it gets real.
It's
getting real. You understand?
Yes,
just to a point, man. We can't just turn away. You understand? And just pick up that check on Monday morning. We have to look at it and see what we're gonna do with that check, man. We're gonna buy some water. You understand? Some toilet paper and some sanitary napkins. And store them up.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And I was watching this one program where they were talking about the military. American military is preparing for, now listen what they said. They're preparing for war by land, by water, by cyber, and then war by space. And I'm like, now what kind of space wars is you all expecting? You know what I'm saying? They separated it out. He was like land, water, air, cyber, and space. I'm like, okay. You know, so they're putting different programs on the television to keep the people appeased so that people don't begin to panic. Problem with that is that you get so engrossed in those programs or your church organizations, and you forget to pay attention to be prepared. We have a responsibility to prepare. And like I said, If we scan the heck out of you, good. I hope you're scared to death, because this is some serious stuff, and we need to have a little bit of fear. We need to be in fear to the point where we prepare, not fear to the point where we don't think there's a solution. But we will come to your city, we will show you what we know, and we will enlighten you and get you some information so that you'll know it, so that you'll start preparing your families, because this is serious stuff.
That is correct.
And also,
like
it is 5:25. If you are wanting to call in that's on the chat line, please do before 5:30, because after that, you won't be able to participate in the show. We are having a board meeting at 6:30 today for all of those that are in the Nation of Yehuda. Please be on time and punctual, because we have some things we need to discuss. But go ahead, Brother Donnie. I'm sorry.
Yeah, like I said, man, if we don't do nothing, we're contributing to our own demise. You understand? So when this think tank comes in, community outreach think tank comes into play, when it comes to your town or city, you understand? Come to the meeting and bring all that you got to find a solution for our situation. You understand? Because we're in a situation here that we can do something about. You understand? If we don't do nothing, man, we contribute to our own demise. You understand? And if you can help, why be a hinder? You understand? You're hindering when
That's
you're
right.
not helping.
That's right. Like I said, we're not telling anyone not to go to school. We're not telling anyone not to go to work. We're not telling anyone to sell all they have and run for the hills. That's not what we're saying. And please, let me repeat myself, that is not what we're saying. What we're saying is, let us educate you as to what's really going on, and then start preparing. Start putting some food up. Start putting some water up. Start preparing for your family. And it doesn't have to be masked up at one time, just a little bit of stuff every now and then. Prepare. Have an emergency preparedness plan set up for you and your family. Have an emergency prepared list set up or a strategy if you're all separated. If you're at work and your kids are at school, you all should have a plan. If there's an emergency, if there's a crisis, how do we all get to what location at what point? Start making drills, fire drills, emergency preparedness drills. Start doing those. Stop twerking and start paying attention to what's going on. Because this
is
serious. And if they think they don't have a black leader, they do. They have a bunch of us, and we're not afraid to stand up and say to our people, start paying attention. Cut all that music off, all that garbage that they got on there to keep you distracted, and start paying attention. Because believe me, at the end of the day, Jay-Z, Beyonce, and them, they know what's getting ready to go down. And they have used the money that you have spent to get those CDs, so they're preparing for their families. So at the end of the day, when the mic go off and they unplug the speakers, they have a bunker or something that they can hide themselves in, and you still shaking and dancing and going to be caught in the crossfire. Start paying attention.
That is correct. That is correct. You understand? I can't tell you. I can't tell it to you in any other way. See, the whole thing is saving our children, because after we go, man, they got to live. And if they, you know,
yeah.
if they have, they're gonna be in the concentration camp. You understand? Ooh, it's gonna be a difficult task for them. I'm gonna tell you that right now. You understand? It's going to be hell for them to try. It's hell right now for us to try to make ends meet and things to happen. You understand? We block our own self too. You understand? We sit up there and oh man, we got time. We ain't got no time. Or the Almighty just gonna magically poof and I wake up tomorrow. We gonna be all right. That's not gonna happen. You can bet your life on it. Not gonna happen. You understand? If you don't do nothing, you can trust me. You can trust me. The Almighty, you know what he's saying? I guess they're all right.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they got
it. It's just like Noah. You know, Noah screamed, and Noah preached, and Noah tried to warn, and Noah said what he had to say, and he tried to tell him. He tried to tell him that it was coming and to change from their ways, and nobody paid attention. And the Bible said, just like in the days of Noah, it is happening all over again. And here we are. All kinds of stuff is jumping off. Everything's contrary to the word of Yah and to the law. Everything is contrary. And people are doing what they want to do. They partying, they drinking, and being merry, and getting married, and being happy. and it's business as usual. But I'm telling you that this is something is getting ready to go down that we can't even begin to imagine. And because we as a people have been so brainwashed that we don't pay attention, we are going to be hit the hardest because we are still caught up in la-la land. Wake up, people. I want you to hear something that Vladimir Putin had to say to President Obama. Here we go. Check this out.
To be honest, the result of the vote by the British Parliament was completely unexpected to me. I think we're all used to seeing Western countries act in line with the wishes and the stance of their key partner, i.e. the United States, without any significant opposition. At least it seems to be that way. That's why this disruption has been unexpected. It really came as a big surprise to me. This shows that although Britain is the main geopolitical ally of the US in Europe and the world, there are people who are guided by national interests and common sense and value their sovereignty. Also, I think the vote's outcome is the result of the analysis of what's been happening over the last several years. I mean the tragic events in the Middle East and other countries. It's extremely challenging to reach the proclaimed goals, and here I refer to the campaigns in Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, and other countries. We know what's happening in Egypt, so perhaps, and in fact, I'm quite sure that this is the case, that the people are analyzing the developments, drawing conclusions, and responding in a certain way. Now, coming back to the incident in Syria, we've seen earlier calls by the Syrian government for the international community to investigate their claims of the rebels' use of chemical weapons. Unfortunately, this has not been done. We have to rely on common sense, and here's what it tells us. Syria's government troops are on the offensive and have surrounded the opposition in several areas of the country. In these conditions, to play into the hands of those who are constantly calling for military intervention would be an incredibly ridiculous thing to do, especially on the eve of the UN mission's arrival. It defies any logic. That's why I'm convinced that it's nothing but a provocation on the part of those who want to drag other countries into the Syrian conflict, those who want to win support from the world's powerful players, first and foremost the US. I have no doubts about this. Our American colleagues and friends insist they have the evidence that the government troops did use weapons of mass destruction, in this case chemical weapons. Well, in this case, they'd better present this evidence to the UN inspectors and to the Security Council. They claim they cannot show this evidence because it's secret, but this excuse doesn't hold water. There's a sign of disrespect towards your partners and other stakeholders. If you have the evidence, you should present it. If it's not presented, it means they don't have it. They say they've intercepted some communications, which don't prove anything, but fundamental decisions, like the decision to use force against a sovereign nation, can't be based on such evidence. First of all, I would address Obama not as my colleague, not as the U.S. president, not as the head of state, but as a Nobel Peace Prize winner. We should recall what has been happening over the past decade. How many times did the U.S. initiate military conflicts in various parts of the world? Has this ever helped to resolve even one problem? I've already mentioned Afghanistan, Iraq, and Libya. There's no peace there, no democracy. None of these things our partners sought to bring there. They don't even have basic civil peace and some kind of balance. You have to consider this before you make a decision to launch airstrikes, which will certainly result in casualties, including civilians. Can't you think about that? Shouldn't you think about that? I strongly believe one should think about that. And addressing him as my colleague, I would tell him that soon we'll have a meeting in St. Petersburg. I hope the U.S. president comes. We will certainly have a chance to discuss, among other things, the Syrian issue with our colleagues from around the world. Of course, the G20 is not a formal institution with legal authority. It is just a platform, not one that can replace the UN Security Council. The Security Council alone can sanction the use of force, but it is a good platform for discussing the issue. So why don't we use it? By the way, as regards the interests of the US, even the Americans themselves, if you take a look at their media, at what their politicians and experts say, they have mixed opinions about the potential military intervention. Most analysts today tend to agree that the intervention in Iraq was a mistake. So if you admit that you have made a mistake in the past, what makes you think that you can't make a mistake today? All this should help us realize that such decisions can't be made in haste. Is the U.S. really interested in undermining the international security system, the foundations of international law? Is it likely to improve America's reputation in the world? I doubt it. We urge them to think twice before making a decision, which clearly goes against the position of the international community and undermines the entire system of security.
All right, what do you think about that? Now, that's Vladimir Putin talking about what the wars that are getting ready to happen. And then I have one more for you after you finish with that, or after your comment, because this is going to be our last one, about actually them warning America that they're going to use nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
you know what?
Tony, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know what? See, you know what started this here is because the United States wanted to be allies to the Iranians. I think it's Iranians. You understand what I'm saying? And that's right off the that's on the borders of Russia. You understand? And if they're allies, then the United States was going to set up a military base right on that particular peninsula. You understand what you understand? And Russia said he ain't going for that. You understand? And you know, Russia, Vladimir Putin made some very, very profound statements when he said that, man, you made a mistake when you went into Iraq. You understand? And you admitted to them. Why can't you be saying that you make a mistake right now today? You understand what I'm saying? So they used nuclear weapons on them. I mean, not nuclear weapons, drones that killed up civilian peoples. You understand? So Vladimir Putin ain't going for that, man. You understand? And I'm sure that... He was saying, you know, when he was doing his talking, I believe that he don't want to go to war, but he will.
Now check this out. Here we go. Check it out.
A Kremlin-backed journalist issued a stark warning to the United States about Moscow's nuclear capabilities on Sunday as the White House threatened sanctions over Crimea's referendum on union with Russia. Quote, Russia is the only country in the world that is realistically capable of turning the United States into radioactive ash, end quote. Those are the words television presenter Dmitry Kiselyov said on his weekly current affairs show. Behind him was a backdrop of a mushroom cloud following a nuclear blast. According to Reuters, China's top envoy to Germany has warned the West against punishing Russia with sanctions for its intervention in Ukraine, saying that such measures could lead to a dangerous chain reaction that could spiral out of control. This comes as U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry made a public statement letting Russia know that it has until Monday to reverse course in Ukraine. And the EU made it clear in a separate statement that the decision to implement sanctions starting Monday has already been made. The Prime Minister of Poland, Donald Tusk, was quoted by Reuters as saying, quote, when it comes to sanctions on Russia, a decision has, in fact, already been made, especially on the procedure of introducing sanctions. The consequence of this will be the start of sanctions on Monday, end quote. John Kerry used even stronger language in his statement, hinting at full-scale economic warfare. Quote, I don't want to go into all the detail except to say this. It can get ugly fast if the wrong choices are made, and it can get ugly in multiple directions. It's really hard to believe any of this is happening. Are the people who run the United States government really stupid enough to think that they'll be able to control all this? It's really hard to fathom why they would put everything on the line, especially now that so much evidence has gotten out to the public showing that the United States government funded known neo-Nazis and covered up the fact that it was the new coalition government behind the sniper attacks. But unless all this is just an epic bluff, our world is about to be shaken to its very core. The mainstream media is lying to the American public about the Ukrainian crisis. Do yourself a favor and check out the list of sources for this video in the description below.
How about that one, right? That's some serious business.
Look like we're getting ready to go to... I'm telling you.
This is serious. God have mercy.
Yep.
Lord have mercy.
Yep, I know that's right. And we haven't even tipped tail on trying to get ourselves together. You understand? Everybody's scattered all around and doing their number, and we have not even moved in one iota of trying to get together. You understand?
Lord,
I mean, we're making efforts and we're trying to gather folks, but people ain't moving. You understand?
Oh, Lord have mercy. Adonai, I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to have to really start to pray and ask the Most High to open up the channels of communication so we can at least go into these cities and educate our people on how to get prepared, what they need to do, how they need to prepare, and what they need to pay attention to. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I mean, this is just real serious. China and Russia are ready.
Go ahead.
I didn't think I could be shocked anymore, but this is some serious business right here.
That is correct.
Please, you black people, please, 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 everybody that's under the sound of my voice in every city that you're in, please, please email us. Our email address is theyehudaproject@gmail.com. We will come to your cities. We will come to your cities and present this to your church. We will come and present this to your clubs. We will come and present this to your organization, your gangs, everybody. Please, please, please pay attention. And we're on the brink of war, nuclear war.
Yeah. You know, and they said that it could happen so very fast. And he said that the United States can't be so presumptuous to think that they can control it.
And now that we're cutting back our military, we're cutting our military back. It's like, ain't no way we're going to be able to control it. Man, look, you know China has 1 million people in their army?
Yeah. Yep. And this is a serious thing. Serious, serious. You understand? It can be frightful. If you don't know the Almighty, you understand, it can be very, very frightful. You understand, you know. My suggestion here is to try to get you some water and some stuff stored up, groceries or whatever you think that you need. You understand what I'm saying?
Woo!
And try to get with a bunch of other folks because. You understand? We're more powerful in number than we are individually. If you think you're going to do this by yourself, you can forget that, too.
That's the truth. Now, check this one out. Here we go.
That a Kremlin aide, Sergei Glazyev, had announced that if the U.S. were to impose sanctions on Russia, Moscow may drop the dollar as a reserve currency and refuse to pay off any loans to U.S. banks, saying that Moscow could recommend that all holders of U.S. Treasury sell them if Washington freezes the U.S. accounts of Russian businesses and individuals. Glazyev said, quote, "We would find a way not just to reduce our dependency on the United States to zero, but to emerge from those sanctions with great benefits for ourselves. An attempt to announce sanctions would end in a crash for the financial system of the United States, which would cause the end of the domination of the U.S. and the global financial system." That statement is startling by itself. But the true gravity of this situation is only evident when you consider it in context. China has taken Russia's side in the Ukraine conflict. They are, after all, allies, and China holds the lion's share of U.S. Treasuries. If Russia puts out the call to drop the dollar, China would have a choice. Either hold on to those treasuries while the dollar slides, losing their shirts in the process, or join Russia and dump their holdings as well. It should be pretty obvious which way China would go. For a related article, see the link below entitled "The Extreme Right Emerging as the Dominant Voice in Ukraine." The effects of a coordinated bond sell-off by China and Russia would be earth-shattering. This would be the financial equivalent of a nuclear bomb being dropped. It is no exaggeration to say that such a move would mark the end of an era. Now, you would think that this would prompt some serious reflection and that diplomats would be scrambling to resolve this peacefully. But instead, Obama signed a sanction order anyway and revoked the visas of a number of Russian officials. All of this supposedly in response to the violence in Kiev, even though we now have leaked phone conversations that indicate that it was in fact the new coalition government in Ukraine that was responsible for the shootings and that the West knows this. For more information on this, see the link in the description box below. Now combine this with the fact that several U.S. officials met directly with neo-Nazi leaders prior to the coup in Ukraine, and these sanctions become even more ridiculous. For the list of sources for this video, please see the links in the description box below.
If you like this video, please.
How about that one? If they dump them dollars, it's over, y'all.
Yep.
If they dump those bonds, it's over, man. I can't believe this is happening.
You know,
man,
what?
If they do that, it is over.
Yeah.
Woo!
One more thing to add to this here is that five nations that have their money, they have their gold in the United States Treasury, asked for their gold back in 2012.
What?
And the people have been stalling them because the gold is not there. And right across from the United States Treasury is J.P. Morgan, right across the street. And the money, the gold is supposed to be in the Treasury, you understand, right across the street from J.P. Morgan, on the fifth level down. J.P. Morgan got a safe on the fifth floor, on the five stories underground, just like the what's name. And they talking about how there's a tunnel that goes from J.P. Morgan to the Treasury Department. So the money is not there. The gold is not there.
I believe it.
You understand? So, you know, and five countries that have their money, their gold stored in them treasuries, they want their gold back, and the people have been stalling them. They said that we can give you gold back, but it has to be 2020. 2020. Understand? So they ask, they say, well, let me see. They say, oh, we can't let allow nobody down there.
Wow.
You understand? I'm telling you, man, I seen this on television here on the History Channel. Y'all need to watch some of these programs, man. I mean, it don't have to be all true, but you can read between the lines some of this stuff.
If they call in those bonds and they dump those bonds, it is done.
Yep.
It's over. I mean, for real, it's over to the point where you. And what's so scary is, ever since I came into this knowledge, I have heard people say for years and years and years that the 400-year prophecy ain't real, that it's already done happened, and the da-da-da. But guess what? It's amazing to me that in 2014, we are on the brink of war between Russia and China. And guess what? America is on the verge of collapse. And in 2019 is the 400-year prophecy that the Most High gave that he would bring up. It's too much stuff happening at the same, all at once. And these people been telling these people for years that this stuff ain't real and that this thing already happened and we don't have to. Something is getting ready. The Most High's word does not lie.
That is correct.
Going to do what he said he's going to do. And that 400-year prophecy is coming up real soon in 5 years. And look at where we might be at 5 years. We might be a third world country.
That is correct. We might not even be a country because nuclear tears up everything, man, and demolishes and kills everything. Nuclear.
Woo!
We talking nuclear.
Woo!
You won't be able to catch your breath, man. 20 miles out of town, you understand, can destroy you, you understand, once you breathe in them nuclear rays that come out, those things, those fumes. Miles out of the nuclear blast, you understand? If you're not inside in 20 miles out of town, you understand, you can get burned by that nuclear stuff, you understand? Oh, man, that's a hell of a thing. Look what it did to Hiroshima. They can't build nothing on that place now.
Lord have mercy. And you remember that.
So we all know, you know. Go ahead. I trust in Almighty with all my heart.
You remember that video that I sent you?
Huh?
You remember that video that I sent you about the nuclear war in America?
Yeah, I see it. That's what I was basing it on. 20 miles out. Get a bunker. At least 75 miles out of town.
Yes. Lord have mercy. Woo.
Yes, it is.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm not trying to scare nobody. I'm trying to tell you what really trying to get ourselves together and find out what we're going to do. You understand? To save our children alive. We've already lived. We've had a good time. Them kids, they ain't going to have no time if we don't put nothing together for them. We don't put nothing.
You are absolutely right.
You understand? We can trust in the Almighty that He's gonna give us. I'm telling you.
That's critical. I mean, you know, it's just critical. It's critical, critical, critical. And you know, I don't really know what to say behind it because it's so much stuff jumping off right now, and so many people that's just not paying attention. It's critical. I mean, for real, these are some critical times.
You know, there's nothing that we can do to the other nations, but we're supposed to be able to do something for ourselves. That's what we need to be focused on. We don't need to be focused on trying to pay them back for what they did. The Almighty going to take care of all of that. That's His job. We can't get on His job. We need to stay on our job. You understand? We don't do that. You understand? We contribute into our own demise. I mean, you understand? We can do, you know, we can do this because, you understand, we're the same people that put all of this stuff in every captivity, man. You understand? In every captivity that we've been in.
That's true. That is true. And you know what, Brother Donia? I didn't want to do this, but we're going to take a moment and do this. For the next 10 minutes before we hawk out, there is something that I sent to him that I think it was done through the History Channel to give people some information about what happens with the nuclear war or when we're hit by a nuclear bomb or whatever. We want you to listen to some of this so that you can understand just how serious this is, and we're going to probably close out about maybe 10 after 6. So I want you to pay attention to this right here. Here we go. Check this out.
A nightmare becomes reality.
Nuclear weapon has been exploded in this area. Bola's nuke, a capital destroyed. A nation in shock. If you're at the epicenter of this blast, unfortunately, you're not going to make it. You will most likely be vaporized.
Today, the threat of a nuclear attack is greater than ever.
There's no dispute, whatever. This is where Al-Qaeda wants to go.
A look inside the government's plan to save America.
The worst case scenario really is that a nuclear weapon could wipe out the entire leadership of the U.S. government.
The threat is real. The clock is ticking. Is America ready for the day after disaster?
Ask you, if you were a terrorist and you were looking at where would you strike, what would be your number one target? If you were an international terrorist and you were against the Western ideals, where would you choose? Washington, D.C. is the number one target. It's the symbol of everything that we stand for, the foundation that the country was built on.
The single greatest danger to the U.S. today is the danger that terrorists successfully explode a nuclear bomb devastating the heart of one of our great cities, a nuclear 9/11. Thank you.
If you're at the so-called epicenter of this blast, unfortunately, you're not going to make it. You will most likely be vaporized. I mean, you're going to be at the center of what you might consider to be an exploding sun, in essence. The amount of energy, radiation from blast, from heat, is going to be such that we will see absolutely no survival at this epicenter. 5,000 people die instantly. More than double the casualties of 9/11, incinerated in a fraction of a second.
Think about that bomb exploding in the city where you live, and think about the consequences. Everything a third of a mile from ground zero would disappear instantaneously, vaporized in this huge release of energy that reaches about 540,000 degrees Fahrenheit.
The detonation is followed by an intense flash of light, the hallmark of a nuclear explosion. Another 10,000 people will die in a matter of seconds, 15,000 more injured. Any 1.6 miles to 1 mile from ground zero survives the initial thermal pulse, but not for long. The speed of light, the flash, travels faster than the blast overpressure. The next victims see the light, followed by a deafening boom, just seconds before the structure they're in collapses.
There would be blast victims, there would be burn victims, there would be people, just like with the tornado, who are embedded with or impaled with objects.
15 seconds post-blast, 30,000 dead or injured. Ground Zero, the Capitol Building, the Supreme Court, Library of Congress, National Air and Space Museum, all within a half mile, gone. The White House sits 1.39 miles from Ground Zero. Made of reinforced concrete and shielded by the Treasury, damage is heavy, but less severe.
There is the immediate problem of trying to find who's alive and capable of acting at the moment. That's especially the case in the case of a president.
It would not be immediately obvious where all of the people in the national chain of command, from the president to the vice president and the whole succession of cabinet officers, who would assume responsibility if those above them did not survive.
Further outside Ground Zero and the blast zone, chaos is unleashed. Streets and highways are clogged with blinded drivers. Many stare directly at the thermal flash. ...2,400 experience temporary flash blindness. Another 1,000 are permanently blinded, their retinas seared. The 10-kiloton blast emits a deadly electromagnetic pulse that spans 3 miles. Planes crash. Cars die. Cell phone towers go dead. This is not a scene from a Hollywood movie. This is one of the top threat scenarios facing the U.S. government today.
Many things that we think couldn't happen have happened.
We see this over and over in history. If we don't prepare for them, we're not going to be able to manage them.
All right, you guys. Brother Donnie, what you got to say about that one?
It's going to be a terrible thing, I know that. And anybody that's right there in that area, like I said, it ain't going to be no living soul in that blast area. Maybe.
Okay. And you know what's so serious is that we have nuclear warheads all over America, and all they have to do is cool those nuclear warheads down, warm them up to the point where they're not on ice, and we're in the same boat. So I want to give you guys this link to YouTube because this was done by the History Channel, and this was so that you can understand how serious this is. They put this together so that you could be aware of how serious this is and start preparing as best you can because we don't know where it's going, what they're going to do or how they're going to react, but we can at least try to be prepared as best we can. The name of the YouTube clip is Washington, D.C. gets nuked day after disaster. So Washington, D.C. gets nuked, N-U-K-E-D, in parentheses, day after disaster. And I think it's about an hour and 30 minutes long. It is worth watching because it really brings you to reality to let you know it's time to stop playing, because that's what Russia and China are planning to do. And we have got to be prepared in the event that that happens, because the government is not going to give you no one-week warning, oh, they're going to bomb us in a week. No, it's going to happen spontaneously.
That is correct. That is correct. You understand? It's just a, and this is not to scare anybody. This is so that we need to be getting ourselves.
That's right. That's absolutely right. That's right. I don't know. Some people need to be scared a little bit because, you know, we've gotten too comfortable when we think it's going to always be like this. And we are on the verge of some serious things happening. And all we're trying to do is tell our people to get prepared.
Yeah. You understand?
So on that go ahead, Brother Donian. You make that statement. I'm sorry.
Yeah, just get 75 miles away at least. What I'm saying, and start. You understand? Get 75 miles away, till you some ground and groceries, and try to get your groceries together so that you'll have something to eat. You understand? Because this place ain't gonna.
No, sir. That's absolutely correct.
You understand
what I'm?
I'll tell
yes,
you
sir.
No more.
So if you want to. You keep breaking up. We can't hear you. You keep breaking up. We can't hear you.
Okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
I said your phone keeps breaking up and we can't hear you. But I just want to let everyone know we're sorry for the technical difficulties. Of course, we get attacked when we do shows like this, you know, for whatever reason, you know. But all we're trying to do is get our people prepared so that we are not completely annihilated and everybody else is preparing. So all we're saying is prepare, prepare, prepare. If we scared you, good, because our job is to get you prepared and not be so comfortable with, oh, it's going to be all right, or, oh, the Lord is just going to take care of us. No, Hebrew Israelites have always died through the years in different invasions all through the Bible. They killed off millions of us all the time. We have always been in the middle of war, and it was those ones that prepared and those ones that he chosen that made it out of this thing. So we have to begin to start paying attention and quit going for the foolishness and start sitting down and preparing your family. So, Brother Donny, do you have any last words?
I just want to tell everybody to do something about our condition. Hallelujah. Praise the Almighty.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And on that note, again, the name of the video is Washington, D.C. Gets Nuked. Day after disaster. It was created by the History Channel. It is 1 hour and 30 minutes long. When you get a chance tonight, watch it so that you know exactly, because this is what Russia and China are planning. You know, they're planning some serious stuff, and we hope it doesn't happen. We don't want it to happen, but at the end of the day, we just really don't know what's going to happen. So, you know, we just want everybody to know that we love you, you know, and we need everybody to come together. We want to come to your city. Email us at the Yehuda Project @gmail.com. We will be more than happy to come present you with all the information that we have so that you can begin to start preparing yourself and wake up our people. And on that note, we want to tell everybody shalom, shalom, and we will see you next week, same place, same time. See you later, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.